Okay, we left off yesterday. We began to discuss a very, very difficult halacha to understand the din of Nigud Abidofen and Shabbos, Abidofen and Sukkah, and vice versa. And we saw in the Rishonim that they took this with the utmost seriousness as the real din in the Torah. The Rishonim was struggling to try to find why it's necessary to have such a din in the Torah, but Lamaisa, it exists. Lamaisa, the halacha exists. That we saw in the Ran was very clear. The Ran said that we're going to take the principle of the funnels in Ocha Sukkah and plug it into Ocha Shabbos, and we're going to use that to be matter something that would otherwise have been in Nisa D'Araisa. Why would it have otherwise been in Nisa D'Araisa? So we had to do a little bit of work on that, but Lamaisa, we figured it out. The Ran tried at least to figure it out. But even though this area has three walls in it, but still the third wall doesn't go all the way far down, and that Psalia Tzibin Sukkah wouldn't have worked for Ocha Shabbos, you need the Dinamiga Davi Dofen to solve a problem on the level of Derech. That was pretty much the gist of yesterday. So at the very end of the Shia, we mentioned that the Pnei Yeshua and Har Sugya has a lot of difficulty with this. And the truth is that my initial reaction was like the Pnei Yeshua also. Lulei the Divrei HaRishonim, I would have said like the Pnei Yeshua, that this concept just cannot be a din min haTorah. It doesn't seem to make any sense on the level of Derech. Says the Pnei Yeshua, I'll prove to you that we don't really find any application of Migo Davi Dofen, then in Sukkah, Dofen, and Shabbos, and Levo Deraisa, because I'm going to tell you that no matter how you slice, no matter what diagram you draw, Min HaTorah, you're allowed to carry in this area anyway. Even though this area is right smack in the middle of Times Square, in the middle of Shisram Deraisa, you're still allowed to carry it in any way on a Levo Deraisa, even before you start plugging in anything. That's why. Says the Yeshua, well, let's take a look at the picture. What was the classic picture? So the classic picture was this. Even the way the Ran drew the picture, the classic picture was Ashtayim Kehochasan Shlish Zafilu Tefach. So comes the Pnei Yeshua and says, this area, notwithstanding where it is, even if it's right smack in the middle of the biggest major thoroughfare, is not Rishis Ram Deraisa. For multiple reasons, it's not Rishis Ram Deraisa. Before Hilchas Sukkah, even so, before we opened up Masechet Sukkah, we just finished Maseches Erevin, and we already know that we don't have Rishis Ram Deraisa here. Not only do we not have Rishis Ram Deraisa here, we quite possibly have a better Rishis Ram. The opposite Rishis Ram. What do we have? We have Rishis Yachid Deraisa. Why? How do we have? Where's Rishis Yachid Deraisa? Says the Pnei Yeshua. What are the ABCs of Rishis Yachid Deraisa? What do you need to make Rishis Yachid Deraisa, according to most opinions? You need three walls. So says the Pnei Yeshua. Don't do math. Count up your walls. Here's one wall. Here's another wall. And here's another wall. Huh? Another wall? That's called a lechi. Is that called a wall? Or is it? What is a lechi? So comes the Peshu and says, well, let's ask Moshe Rabbeinu what a lechi is. Moshe Rabbeinu, do you ever hear of a lechi? Wait, now, that's a tricky question to ask Rabbi Yerub, because we already learned in the last sugya that the Moshe Rabbeinu knew all the things Rabban also. So you know what I mean with that statement. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, did you tell Klal Yisrael about a lechi? Was that part of the Shirim of Matan Torah? Or did that enter into the vocabulary of the Jewish people hundreds and thousands of years later? What exactly is a lechi? What is this principle of a lechi? So comes the Gemara in the first Bech Masechet Erevin. We've talked about this a little bit before, and actually raises a question. What exactly is a lechi? Now, we're familiar with a lechi in the first Mishnah Masechet Erevin, when you have a Mavi Sosum, and now you put a, so Mid HaTorah you don't need anything, but Mid Rabbanan you have to stick a lechi over here, or Mid Rabbanan you have to make a kor over here. So we're familiar with the principle of a lechi, but to raise a shaila on a level of the Araisa, what this lechi is really a moot shaila. Why is it a moot shaila? Because you would nobody would ever sit. If you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, tell me Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a Mavi Sosum, and now I'm putting a lechi here, and I want to know, what is that lechi accomplishing? Is it working Min HaTorah or not? What's the answer? Well, it's not even needed, man. It's superfluous Min HaTorah. I don't need anything Min HaTorah. That would be a pretty silly shaila. But what if I did as follows? What if I don't have a Mavi Sosum, I have a Mavi Mefulosh, and I put a lechi over here? Now, we all know that a lechi of Mavim Mefulosh is not going to do trick. That's the Gemara in the first Bech of Erevin. What do you need on a Mavim Mefulosh? We should know that already by now. You need a trick. Remember, we spoke about this a couple of days ago. Of course, a lechi isn't going to do the trick on a Mavim Mefulosh. But the Gemara has the following shaila. What if, in a level of Deraisa, you made the following construction? you have two walls, and you put a lechi on one of the sides of the pilush, and I want to know, what, if anything, have I accomplished min HaTorah? So comes the Gemara and quotes a machlekes Sama Rahim about this. So one opinion of Rahim says that min HaTorah, you've accomplished a great amount. You know what you've done min HaTorah? Believe it or not, you have transformed this area to be a Rishus HaYochid. How does that work? What great secret is that based on? Based on the following principle, that according to one opinion in the Gemara, Lechi is Mishum, what? Mishum Mechitza. So al pi din, the Lechi that's here, is as if it closes off the top of the box, and I now have three walls. So if you subscribe to that view that Lechi is Mishum Mechitza, so then that works even on a level of Deraisa, and it'll work even L'chumra, it'll work through Mechayvah Gai Skila. So if a person is standing here in the Rishus HaRabim with this other 599,999 people, and he decides to toss something into this Mavi Mefulosh that was fixed up, not literally fixed up because it doesn't really work when they're abundant, but he quote unquote was Masakin it with a Lechi. So according to one opinion in the Gemara, he will be Chayev Skila, because that's called carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. The other day in the Gemara says, Lo Hoyu Dvar Meyolam. We never heard of such a thing. That's not called Rishus HaYochid in the Torah. That only has two walls. I have a Lechi. Nah. Lechi is not Mishum Mechitza. Lechi is Mishum what? Lechi is Mishum Hekev. Lechi was made up mid Rabbanim. Lechi is not part of the Hilchas Mechitzas and Amaros the Maishim Sinai. Lechi is only a Hekev mid Rabbanim. We only find that it works in a Mavi Sosum, which anyway is only mid Rabbanim. But on a level of their eyes, this Lechi is Kemandaleisa. And what do you need to be a third wall in love of Deraisa? What's the standards of walls in the Deraisa? How much of the whole must it close up in the love of Deraisa? What's the answer? So the first opinion in the Gemara says that there was a halacha mashim sin of Amrim v'laparutz. That's on the first wall. On the third wall, lechem ishim mechitza, and that works with Deraisa. According to the second opinion, no, there never was a din of lechem ishim mechitza. Amrim v'laparutz was necessary even on the third wall as well. The Gemara says, if you hold that lechi is mishim heker, then obviously this blight the Rishus HaRabim, and you wouldn't be chayef for carrying from one foot in Rishus HaRabim to another foot in Rishus HaRabim. If you carry the Alhamish, you'd be chayef, but that wouldn't be called hachnosa Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. So that machloikis, with a lechi mishum mechitza, a lechi mishum heker, is a real machloikis on the level of deraisa. That's some very, very real nafkaminas deraisa. Not in a mavi sosum, because the lechi is superfluous when I turn in a mavi sosum, but in a mavi mefulosh, it really is important. How does that machlokes play out lamaisa for us in a mavi sosum? Again, in a mavi mefulosh, you can't do this anyway, because midrabanan, according to any, nobody holds you can actually fix up a mavi mefulosh this way. But, so whether you hold lechi mishum hecha, lechi mechitza, it's only nafkamina when you can give a guy skila. How does this machlokes play out for us? So the Gemara says it does have enough gemina. It has enough gemina for us in terms of how to understand what you're doing in a Mavi Sosum. When Chazal instituted that a Mavi Sosum needs something on the fourth wall, did they institute that as you require a mechitza on the fourth wall? Because lech is mishum mechitza. Or did they institute that all you need is a heker and lech is mishum heker? My enough gemina. So what says a chaps enough gemina? We spoke about this a little bit. When we talk about this, what's the difference between lech is mishum mechitza, lech is mishum heker, lemaisa for us? Oh, so the Gemara suggests that maybe that's the Nekudas HaMachlokes in Abayin Rava about a Lechi Omi Be'elav. That Abayi says a Lechi Omi Be'elav maybe is okay, and Rava says it's not okay. What's the issue? So the Gemara explains that if you hold that a Lechi is Mishum Hilchus Mechitzes, so then if the Mechitzes is there, it's there. What do I care whether I know it's there or not? If the Mice have four walls there, so it's okay. Or three walls, whoever the amount of walls that I need. But if you hold that a Lechi is Mishum Heker, so that it would make sense that I have to do something to make it into a heker. I can't have it be a mamela and then turn around and say, oh, by the way, it's serving as a heker. If it wasn't miyachid as a heker. So the Gemara, at least at one stage in the sugya in the Machlokes Abayin Rava, thinks that's the issue where the lech is mishum heker. So again, the application of the Machlokes Abayin Rava, the application of where the lech is mishum heker mishum mechitza vis-a-vis a Mavi Sosum is only a Shaila Midrabanan. But the original source of the Machlaikis is very much a Machlaikis on the love of Deraisa. What is the nature of a Lechi? Is a Lechi part of Hilchas Mechitzas that requires Amun Brubala Parut? Or is a Lechi a Chiddush Hilchas Mechitzas that in the third Mechitz you don't even need Amun Brubala Parut? It's fine. So comes the Be'eshu and says, If you assume, if you're willing to take that plunge, that lechi is mishum mechitza, so then, in effect, I have three walls over here. I have a real bona fide Rishus HaYochid here on a level of deraisa. So why are you telling me a story that migo d'habi d'ayfa din in sukkah, just as in uchas sukkah, I'm okay with the shtayim kitmas l'shul shlefil tefach? Guess what? Even in Erevin, I'm okay with the shtayim kiyuchas on the shlishis afilu mashu, I mean the tefach, because lechi is mishum mechitza. So I said, why does the Gemara say you have to come onto the Migo? What's the answer, says the Pnei Yeshua? Because min haTorah, that's not acceptable. Min haTorah, nobody, even if you're lechi is mishum mechitza, you would never permit a person lemaisa to carry here. So that is the Rabbanon of requiring real, real four walls on Shabbos, not rely on any of these kuntzim. That is the Rabbanon is doesn't apply on Sukkot, because Migo not be dafin in Sukkot, be dafin in Shabbos. But the degree of that Migo, says the Pnei Yeshua, is only working on the level of the Rabbanon, because quite frankly, midaraisa, we solved the problem long ago based on the principle of lechi mishum mechitza. This is, of course, this whole Shtikl Torah, the Pnei Yeshua, again, this is whole new approach to the sugya against the Rishonim, against the Ran, against the other Rishonim. It's the Pnei Yeshua's trying to solve the dilemma of how many HaTorah, anyway, you're allowed to carry in this area. So he says, Mestami, you're allowed to carry in this area based on principle of Lechi Mishum Mechitza. However, this pshat is only as true as if the Mandi Omer in Sukkot of Zayim and Aleph is the one who subscribed that Lechi is Mishum Mechitza. So now the Pnei Yeshua says, now we go back to reading the Gemara again, and we have to make sure we have the right people lined up. We have to make sure that anybody who appears on Zayim and Aleph is part of that team of Lechi Mishum Mechitza. The last person we would want to make an appearance on Zayim and Aleph is a Lechi Mishum Heker person. So who makes the appearance on Zayim and Aleph? Omar, what? Well, we don't even know who's making the appearance. We're not even sure whether it's Rabba or whether it's Rava. So, you know, usually when you read these Gemaras, Rabba, Rava, oh, come on, who cares? Shiva, Rabba, Rava, hey, Aleph. Nobody knows the difference. No one knows how to spell anyway. What's the difference? So, no, says the Pnei Yeshua, that makes all the difference in the world, because the last person we want on Zion off is who? It's Rava. Because Rava is the one who holds that Lechi Omer Me'elav is no good. So if you hold that Lechi Omer Me'elav is no good, that means you hold that Lechi is Mishum what? It's Mishum Hekir. And if you hold Lechi is Mishum Hekir, then the Netar, it's not going to work here, and then you're going to require amigo midaraisa, which can be. So the Pnei Yeshua says the girsa in the Gemara, the correct girsa in the Gemara, can't be Rava. It has to be Rava. And how do you know what Rava holds about this topic? So the Pnei Yeshua learned the first brach of Erevin. So he dug up a sugin in the first brach of Erevin. The Rava, lo and behold, happens to disagree with Rava. Rava happens to be on the Abaye team. He happens to subscribe to the idea that Lechi is Mishum Mechitza. So says the Pnei Yeshua, phew, Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief. We can sleep easily tonight knowing that our Gemara is Rabba l'shitosai, Lech is Mishum Mechitza. Therefore, there's nothing to worry about. Therefore, Min HaTorah, everything was hunky-dory. Everything was good. And we don't need Migos to sell Pals Min HaTorah, because Min HaTorah were home free anyway. What a Shtikl Torah, all depending on whether a Hay or an Aleph is correct. Says the Pnei Yeshua, you know, in my Gemara, it says Rava with an Aleph, as it does in my Gemara. Yeah. Do I want my whole Shtikl Torah to be hinging upon a Hay or an Aleph? Says the Pnei Yeshua, I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to show you that my Shtikl Torah could be right, even if the correct Girsa is Rava. I don't think it is, but even if it is, I'm still right. Why? Because there's a whole other reason why we can knock this down to being a Derabbanan. The goal of the Pnei Yeshua's whole Shtikl Torah is to show you that Min HaTorah, it's okay to carry it. Midaraisa, everything is okay anyway, even before the dinner of Migo kick in. So the easiest way to solve the problem in the Torah was to invoke Lechi Mishum Mechitza. But even if you hold Heker, it's still okay to carry here on a level of Deraisa. Why is that? So says the Pnei Yeshua, because it's quite possible that this area, although not Rishus HaYochid Min HaTorah, because Lechi Mishum Heker, I'm playing devil's advocate, I'm playing Rava's card now. Lechi is Mishum Heker, it's still okay to carry here. Why? Because just because something is not a Rishus HaYochid doesn't necessarily mean that it's Rishus HaRabim. In order to be also to carry Min HaTorah, it has to be a real bona fide Rishus HaRabim. Well, what are some of the klolim that make up a Rishus HaRabim? So we know what the basic klolim are. We call a little bit of Shabbos and Erevin, we know. What are some of the ABCs of being Rishus HaRabim? What does the Gemara say on Masechet Shabbos? How big is it? That's going to be 16 amos wide, right? That's one, that's klal gadol. It's got to be 16 amos wide streets. How do you know that? Where did that derive from? From Diglei Midbar, from the Mishka. The Gemara is a whole calculation, and they figured out that the area of travel in between the Agol is 16 amos. So that's one klal. Then you have half the Rishonim added on another klal. What's the other klal? You need 600,000 people. Another klal, some Rishonim said, other Rishonim said, we never heard of such a klal. So again, so we have a few klalim here and there, a few other klalim here and there that have to be satisfied in order to be Rishis Ram Dira'isa. What's the almost the most basic fundamental klal of Rishis Ram Dira'isa? What does it really have to be? I mean, those are all nice technical details, but what does it really have to be? It has to be an open thoroughfare, a place where the Rabbin can easily traverse. That's the basic tzura of Rishis Ram Dira'isa. These klolim that the Torah is saying, these are all ways of measuring. These are barometers. How do you know? If the area is very, very small, it's probably not going to meet those criteria. There aren't so many people around, but the basic tzura, all of these halachas, not just stam halachas, they're all to create that model of an area that's easily traversed, an area that's easily traveled. Like Moshul Demad Avadoyme, there's a famous Ramban, Daf Mem Tes, and Masechet Erevin, that causes a lot of complications in Ruchas Erevin today. The Ramban writes that, Bamed Devam Amurim, that some of the klolim are necessary to become Rishis Ram Deraisa, such as, let's say, 600,000. Those who showed him, the Rashi, others who say, you need 600,000 people to walk there to be Rishis Ram Deraisa. Zok the Ramban, when you're within a city, you want to declare that a regular little village, you know, little village of Bergenfield, little town of Tina, little town of New Rochelle, those little areas of Rishis Ram Dira'isa. So Rashi says, if you don't have so many multitudes of people walking there, that's not Rishis Ram Dira'isa. But what if you have something that's objectively a Rishis HaRabim? It's a Rishis HaRabim. What do you mean it's an objective Rishis HaRabim? It's what the Ramban coins a phrase called the Derech HaHoylech Me'ir Le'ir. It's a path, it's a highway. It's a path that connects from one city to the next. So says the Ramban, Ein l'cha rishus harabim godum mizah. That's an objective rishus harabim. When you're dealing with a little town, you want to say, is this little street, is this a public street, or is this just a nice little private small area that a few people gather and play cards on? So if it has a big area, 600,000 people are traveling there, it's a real major thoroughfare, so then we can't close our eyes anymore. We have to say that's Rishis HaRabim. If it's a little small corner that a couple of people are playing, you know, games on and kids are playing ball on, it's not so much traffic there, so that's not Rishis HaRabim there. So if you have a highway that connects two towns, what is it? What are you going to do? It's a village? It's a street? It's a little quaint little town? It's a highway. Rishis HaRabim. Ein l'cha Rishis HaRabim godum mizah. Zok the Ramban, it's possible that a highway, Derech HaHoylech Me'ir Le'ir, is by definition, by default, is always a Rishis HaRabim. The Ramban suggests such a Sarah. Tosis doesn't seem to buy into that. Tosis, in a few places, writes that Ein Lod Rishis HaRabim Bezman Hazeh. Why did Tosis write Ein Lod Rishis HaRabim Bezman Hazeh? The Balei Tosis lived in the Middle Ages. The Middle Ages, they don't know the average size of a town in the Middle Ages. No, the Dark Ages. They don't know any history. How big were the towns in the feudal days? The biggest town, Paris. Maybe. Paris in 1100, quick. What population of Paris in the year 1100? Okay? Tell me what you got for me. Great metropolis near Ben Tam's hometown. Many Achille hung out. What do you got for me? What? No one's got it for me? Paris in 1100. By 1100, already the towns were bigger. They're already, the fuel system was breaking down. Oh, no. 1100. What do you got? No information. Population of Paris, 1100.
Population had reached by 1100. 1500 is 150,000.
Oh, that was much years. That was many years later. 400 years.
No,
forget it. The point I was trying to make was, I was just trying to dramatize a little bit so you would remember what I'm talking about. The point was, and you let me know when you figure it out, okay? What? 50,000 people in 1,100 in Paris. Well, Rabbi Yechiel, a lot of tamidim. Okay, so the bottom line is Zokter, Reb Zokter, Zokter Bala Taisus. Says Taisus in a few places in the Sechah Shabbos, Bizman is that ain't lanu shisram der Aisa. Why? Because Bala Taisus were of that opinion that you need 600,000 people. Even Paris in its heyday of 1,100, 50,000 people, that's 1/12 of the way to shisram der Aisa. So Taisus writes that Bizman is that ain't lanu shisram der Aisa. We don't have a shisram der Aisa. And therefore, Tosfos writes, in the old days, Alexandria in its heyday had hundreds of thousands, Rome and Yerushalayim in its heyday had hundreds of thousands of people. So Tosfos manas, everything is much, much toned down, much, much smaller, and therefore, ein lo shisram deraisa. And my nafkamina, says Tosfos, we have certain kulas based on that. Tosfos writes a famous kula that the whole parak in Shas, whole parak was in the Shabbos, that says that women are not allowed to wear jewelry. Even though the jewelry in the Torah is a tachshit, it's considered to be, let's say, she's wearing a ring, wearing a necklace, so it's part of her body, it's like wearing clothing. But Midrabanan, Chazal said, you're not supposed to wear any jewelry on Shabbos in the street, if it's a type of a jewelry that you tend to show off. Because we're afraid that you're going to show your ring to your friend, you can take off your necklace, take off your earrings, and then you end up carrying, by mistake, that jewelry for Dad Amos Rishis Ram. So the Gzeir Midrabanan made, any jewelry that people don't tend to show to their friends, so there's nothing to be concerned with. Any jewelry that people tend to show to their friends is a problem. That's what the Gemara says in the sixth Pechah Masechta Shabbos, that all of jewelry is divided into three categories in halacha. Some jewelry that's not normal to wear bechlal. Let's say if a man wears a ring, in Beis HaChazal, that was considered to be strange. A man's going to wear a woman's ring, that was bizarre. Or if a woman wears a man's kind of a ring, that was bizarre. So the Mishnah says something that's out of the ordinary, normal people don't wear, that's not even a takshit. That's considered to be mamish carrying their isa. But if it's so that's one category. If you have something that it is normal to wear, but it's normal to show, so that's a tachshit min haTorah, but it's still awesome in the Rabbanan Gezeria may come to carry it. If it's something that's both a tachshit and nobody tends to show off, so then that's mutar lechatchila. So Tosfos quotes in Masechta Shabbos that bizman hazeh, our wives wear jewelry in the street. Tosfos writes, even though we don't have Erevin, our wives wear jewelry, Maisim Chol Yom, the Rebbetzins of Rabbeinu Tam, all the Rebbetzins are wearing jewelry in the street on Shabbos. So Taisus throws their hands up. Why are they? What's going on? Why are they wearing jewelry in the street? So Taisus gives a few limudei chusim. So one chus Taisus writes is that this gezeira de rabbanon that you may come to carry the jewelry was probably only made in an area where you have b'shisrams deraisas. This man has asked this Taisus, ain't one b'shisrams deraisa bechlal. We don't have any b'shisrams deraisa. Our little towns are made. The Tom lived in a little 2x0. The Re lived in a little 2x0. The Rashbam lived in a little 2x0. So these little villages, they know Shisrams their ices anyway. So to make a gezeira their abundant on Nissa their abundant, it's like zero gezeira. That far I can take out. Some of that's the reason for the Rebbetzins. Then Tosfos gives another reason that maybe the reason why the Rebbetzins are making as man as that is because in the olden days, so the women never went outside, so they didn't go out all week. So the only time they would ever meet their friends was on Shabbos. So they would come to Shul Shabbos morning, they would see their friends, they would start showing off, ooh, aha, you see this new ring, you see this new jewelry, this new necklace that my husband bought me, that Rabbi Natan bought his wife, so there was extent. This man is that, Tosfos writes, our wives are in the street all the time, they're in the marketplace, they're supporting us, we're sitting in Kol, they're working in the street, so they see each other all the time, says Rabbi Natan. So our wives, they don't get so excited when they come to shul to show off their jewelry, any jewelry they're wearing, they've already showed off on Tuesday. So this man is that, the whole gezeira doesn't apply. That's a bit chiddush because that probably doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. Even though our wives do go out during the week, but everybody knows. They show off their jewelry on Shabbos. You go look at a Colin Schultz, walks in a new engagement ring. So everyone takes it off, oohs and ahs, and then walking around and looking at a ring. That's exactly what Chazal says you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So we rely on the other day and times. We rely on the fact that Zman Hazeh, it's not that we have Erevin, so we're not so worried about that. But even in places there's no Erev, so most women walk around wearing jewelry on Shabbos. And we assume that it's mikra din okay. The Rush writes Shabbos about this practice of women wearing jewelry on Shabbos. So the Rush writes that he gives all the reasons, and he says none of the reasons are such good reasons. And he says Hanachlem Yisrael. That's always v'chule Hanachlem Yisrael. So there are two different versions of what Hanachlem Yisrael means. Sometimes Hanachlem Yisrael means Hanachlem Yisrael mutav shishoygin v'ayu mezidin. That means he's basically saying it's also you're not allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos, but no one's going to listen anyway, so don't bother telling them. And the other version is Hanachlem Yisrael ein neviim hem b'nei neviim hem. So the Gemara says that in Pesachim that sometimes Klal Yisrael intuitively figure out a certain kula, even though nobody told it to them. They're not so learned, but somehow they have Ruach HaKedesh. They figured out the name of Yemen. They figured out what the kula is. So it's not clear whether the Rosh is justifying this or criticizing it. Whatever it is, the minigah element that people do. So Tosfos writes that this man is that we don't have Rishus Ram. So you see from that Tosfos that they understood against the Ramban. They understood that this man is that we have no Rishus Ram. Even in the highways, you're never going to bump into Rishus Ram as man is that. It's impossible to get into bump into Rishus Ram as man is that. The Tosfos understood that the klal of 600,000 people is a chegla yavar, even if it's a major highway. So that Ramban is very important in Erev, because some poskim chayshish for that Ramban. When Avram quotes that Ramban, so some poskim chayshish for that Ramban. If you chayshish for that Ramban, then any time you build an Erev in any town, you can't include the highway in the Erev. So that causes a lot of tzaras for a lot of Erevim, because a lot of highways run right through towns. So you have to close off every entrance and exit ramp to every highway. Otherwise, you're in effect have Rosh Hashanah in your Erev, and that can disqualify the entire Erev. So every time you build an Erev now, so it's not enough just to, let's say, have a big town over here. It's not enough just to surround the whole town with Tzuras HaPesachs. If you have a highway going through, so we have an entrance here, an entrance here, an entrance here, every time you got to put another Tzuras HaPesachs here, another way here. Every single place you have to close off the highway, that the highway shouldn't be part of the Erev, because otherwise you have Rosh Hashanah running right smack in the middle of the Erev, which can disqualify the entire Erev. That's what we have in Route 4. That's one of the biggest sagas you have in Route 4. Route 4 runs right through Teaneck. You have to close off here, and you have to close off here. Every 20 feet, you have to make another partition to make sure that you don't have an Erev, you don't have a highway running right through. Anyway, so some people are chesh, some people are not chesh. Be back to the story. So why am I telling you this whole story? Is that you see that the rules of Rosh Hashanah are not absolutely written in stone. It means they're more of a description of, is this a makam harabim, a hilach harabim? Says the Bnei Yeshua, what if you have an area that it has all the markings of Rosh Hashanah? It's big, there's a lot of people, but you look at this area, you isolate this small area and you say, this is just not Rosh Hashanah material. This is not the middle of Times Square. This is not a major thoroughfare. Why? Because there's something that's blocking, something serving as a physical obstacle that's preventing a very good, convenient flow of traffic. What is blocking the convenient flow of traffic? You got two walls right smack in the middle. You have a major, major thoroughfare. You got hundreds of thousands of people surrounding you. And right smack in the middle, you have two walls. So the Rambam are not going to go this way. They're going to go around it. They're going to go this way. Who's going to? You're going to run a major three-lane highway into a wall. That's not going to happen. So come to Bnei Yeshua and says, this area that's in your domain of your sukkah, I don't care where it's placed, even if it's in the middle of downtown. I don't care whether you don't have three walls there, which you don't, because it's quite possible that Lechi is Mishum Hek and not Mishum Mechitza. It's still not going to be Rishus Ram D'Oraisa. It can't be Rishus Ram D'Oraisa because it's not a Mokam Hilach HaRabim. Once the Bnei Yeshua just created this new category for us, that it's not a Rishus HaYochid. If you don't lech Mishum Mechitza, then this area is a Rishus HaYochid. If you don't lech Mishum Heker, it's not Rishus HaYochid, but it's not Rishus HaRabim either, because it's not a Mokam Hilach HaRabim. And for our purposes, that's all you have to do. Because remember, what's the goal of the Bnei Yeshua? All the Bnei Yeshua wants to do is to take this area and transform it from being asim and a Torah to carry to making it only midrabbanan, thereby enabling us to apply the migo. So as long as I can knock it down from a deraisa, whether I knock it down by making Rosh Hashanah, or I knock it down by being mafkir the shem Rosh Hashanah, either one is sufficient for the purposes of Bnei Yeshua Nasugi. Heichal metzina davar kazeh, do we have a precedent for this idea in halacha? They can have an area that it's not quite Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, we can't call it Rosh Hashanah because it's lacking in that Hilach HaRabim. We've already seen that. We saw that way before the Bnei Yeshua. Whose sheet is that? There's a famous Rishon. Which famous Rishon has that model? You have an area that's not very convenient to travel in, and therefore we can't call it Rosh Hashanah, but it doesn't quite have the criteria for Rosh Hashanah. That's the Rambam's what? That's a Mavi Sosum, according to the Rambam. That's the first missionary, according to the Rambam. We have a Mavi Sosum. According to the Rambam, this is not a Rosh Hashanah. According to Rashi, it's a Rosh Hashanah. But according to the Rambam, this is not a Rosh Hashanah. So why are you allowed to carry the Minotaur? The Mishnah says you're allowed to carry Minotaur. Minotaur, you just got to put a Kairi here and call it a day. That's a joke. Kairi is a light source. How does that solve a problem in a Torah? The answer is it doesn't. Why is it mutter to carry her anyway? went to the carrier anyway, because Rabbim's don't walk into this kind of an area. It's a klutzy place. You have 600,000 people are going to walk into a wall. So 600,000 people are going to go around another way. So this is not a Rishis Rabbim on a love of Deraisa. So just as the Rambam has three walls not being Rishis Rabbim Deraisa, today says the Pnei Yeshua, we also have two walls not being Rishis Rabbim Deraisa. Now that's a little bit of a tricky statement, because if you read the Pnei Yeshua Kipshuto, you would come to the conclusion, okay, great, that we are mamish the Rambam, just minus one wall. What the Rambam said about three walls, we say about two walls. So if you learn the first parak, second parak of Avin, you realize that's not 100% true. A Mavi Mefulash is the Rishis Rabbim Deraisa. It could be a Rishis Rabbim Deraisa. It has two walls. What's the answer? Yeah, but they're parallel walls to each other. This could be a Rishis Rabbim Deraisa because traffic could go right through it. This can't be a Rishis Rabbim Deraisa because the traffic has nowhere to go. So the Pnei Yeshua never meant to say that two walls are automatically mafkia the Shem Rishis Rabbim Deraisa. He meant in the tzura of a shtayim kehilchason, in the sense of a gam, in the sense of a two walls at a right angle, that's not Rishis Rabbim Deraisa for this one. So far the Pnei Yeshua has solved the problem and not yet from Deraisa Derabbanan, thereby enabling us to invoke the principle of Migo and a love of Derabbanan. So far so good. The Pnei Yeshua is not done yet. He's got more to go. So in come up with a third reason, a third possibility, why Min HaTorah we don't really have a serious problem here anyway, and we don't have to invoke Migos Deraisa. There's something else about this area that is Mufka for Migos Rishis Rabbim Deraisa. Anyone know? So I mentioned before that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos lists off a few different criteria that what is necessary to be Rishis Rabbim Deraisa. One is size, 16 Amos. Some Mishnayim say numbers of people. Then there's a third condition that the Gemara says also. It can't be what? It can't be Makura. Can't have a ceiling to it. The area, the Diglei Midbar, the Mishkan, there was no ceiling there. They talk about, what do you mean there was no ceiling there? None of you covered. Okay, so same time, it's a different question. But well, Pete did it, didn't have a ceiling there. So there was no ceiling there. That's a criteria for Rishis Rabbim Deraisa. That's the reason why the Poskim say that the lower level of the George Washington Bridge can't be Rishis Rabbim Deraisa. Or a tunnel can't be Rishis Rabbim Deraisa. All these areas have ceilings on them. So says the Pnei Yeshua, this area that we're discussing has a ceiling on it. How do we know it has a ceiling on it? Because it's a sukkah, it has schach on it. If it doesn't have schach, then it's a very, very poor sukkah. So says the Pnei Yeshua, once you build a sukkah there, so believe it or not, it's the schach shabai that are going to be mafkia diyasa diraisa v'shis ram. So the first two mahalchim of the Pnei Yeshua was that the defunos are going to change the status min haTorah. Either mahalch number one, the defunos make it Rishis HaYochid Deraisa, Lech Rishis HaMechitza, or the defunos at least break up the din of Rishis HaRam Deraisa, because it's not a Hilach HaRavim. And the third is that the schach makes it into a makura, which by definition means it's no longer Rishis HaRam Deraisa, thereby enabling us to invoke the principle of Migo and the love of Derabanan. So you pick and choose which one of these you like. Says the Pnei Yeshua, any one of these three reasons, I am completely convinced that there is no deraisa here whatsoever, and the necessity for the migo is only on the level of the Rabbanon and Shalom Yisrael. Whether it's Rabba, Rava, Hekem, Mechita, Ischachma, you name it, any one of these three answers is going to work. Again, the Rishonim didn't say any of this, but the Pnei Yeshua suggests he thinks the Milsta Pshita like this. What is bothering the Pnei Yeshua? What is at the heart and soul, the kishkis of the Pnei Yeshua, that's forcing him to interpret the sugya the way he does? So it's not just that he doesn't understand the Migo, but there's something that's bothering him about the application of the Migo. The idea of the Migo, again, we haven't fine-tuned the Migo yet, we may never fine-tune the Migo, at least this time around. But the idea of the Migo is clearly expressing this idea that the standards of Sukkah and Shabbos can't split. I mean, that's just the way it is. That you can't look at something and say, this mechitza is good for one area of halacha, yet it's no good for another area of halacha. Just parenthetically, that notion, that seems to be the heart and soul of the Migo, that you can't split between the two, isn't that a major machlekes in Rishonim? Whether that is even correct? Where did we have? We had?
Between
The Gurasik, that was the Machloikis, I'm showing him. That was the root of the Machloikis, and the Rambam, and the Rabban, and the Ran, and the Ritva, about, is that exact what the Gemara is saying? The way many of them show him, the Ran, the Ritva, learned the Gemara, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. That the standards are different. That something can be a Mechitza, Filcha Shabbos, and not be a Mechitza, Filcha Sukkah. That's what half the Rishayim learned, but in Mechitza Nikaras Falaika means. Perhaps a reason why other of the Rishayim didn't go down that route was maybe in the back of their mind they had this Migo there, namely that the whole Sugyan of Zion and Migo seems to undermine that principle. But for now, I'm putting aside Mechitza Nikaras. I'm not sure yet what to do that Mechitza Nikaras. But let's go back again to the Migo. So the Parashas Tadvarim, which the Ran and Ashley says, that the Migo is presupposing that you have to look at a wall and answer one question. Is it a wall or not? So if the answer is yes, then all of Hilchas walls are going to follow suit. And if the answer is no, then all of Hilchas walls are going to follow suit. Give a half-baked answer that it's not Lob Teshuva, Brisketeir, it's a Mechitza for Yen, not for this. That's an impossible. That's the underlying principle of the Migo. So you have to decide either it's good for everything or it's good for nothing. So says the Bnei Yeshua, I'm asking, I understand that. I can understand conceptually why it's difficult to split between the two areas of halacha. But says the Bnei Yeshua, what I don't understand is, if you have to choose between making these mechitzas good for both or no good for both, why don't you go from the other angle? Why don't you say, catch this one, Migo de lo havia doifin linin Shabbos, lo havia doifin linin sukkah. Namely, I want to build a sukkah of a shtayim kichos and a shlish tefilah tefach. Okay, it's a great, wonderful. I have halacha bar Sinai, shtayim kichos and a shlish tefilah tefach. I'm great. I'm all ready. I build my sukkah. When's the first night of sukkahs? Sunday night. Okay, right. So it's gonna fall on Sunday night. I build the sukkah. The shtayim kichos and a shlish. My wife screaming at me. All right, I'll tell her we'll fix it. Next year we'll build the better sukkah. Okay, fine. Right now we're a little skimpy. Sunday night we're eating away. Ushpizin. Avram comes. Yitzchak comes. Yaakov comes. Depends if Chassidus or Misnag Dish. Somebody else comes in the fourth night. Well, finally, by the time Friday night rolls around, I reach the following dilemma. Oy, oy, oy. I built this beautiful sukkah that, in terms of Hilchas sukkah, was kedas sukkah and mahadrim and mahadrim. But now Hilchas Shabbos and Erev start screaming at me. I don't have the luxury of living in a place that's an Erev, so I have a big problem now. Now my wife says, "I told you so. You look at this. You built yourself. Look at what you built yourself. And now we can't even carry here on Shabbos because it's in the middle of the street. It's in the middle of Times Square. It's a Shram D'Oraisa. Look what you did, you fool." Who's right? He said, "Father Steinkel, Shusafil Tefach." And she's screaming, "Irvin Davies." So the answer is, you can't split. Either the sukkah's kosher and carry, or you can't carry the sukkah's puzzle. So what does Agamemnon say? Agamemnon says, the sukkah's kosher, you can carry. What does the Pnei Yeshua ask? Do it the other way around. Let the wife turn around to the husband and say, listen to what you did. You built the sukkah that we can't use now, because Avram the base says we can't carry here. So since Migo that we can't carry today, it's not called a doifen. If it's not called a doifen, so it's not a doifen for Chasuk either, and now the sukkah's puzzle. So says the Bnei Yeshua, I'm not questioning the principle of Migo. I'm not questioning the consistency and definition of walls, but be consistent, l'chumra, not l'kula. Now why do you think the Bnei Yeshua is presenting it that way? Why do you think that makes sense? Let's be consistent, l'chumra, not l'kula. I think we should be consistent, l'kula, not l'chumra. And you say l'chumra, not l'kula. And I'm screaming l'kula, you're screaming l'chumra. Who should be right? So if you ask me, I would say, well, we're trying to paskin on love of Deraisa, and I'll tell you quite frankly, I don't know which way to go. I know one thing. I know that I can't split, because the split is inconsistent. So inconsistent that we can't tolerate. So we insist on being black or white. Gray, to be flimsy that, you know, Judaism is not a smorgasbord, you know. Hilchas sukkah, it's okay, and Hilchas erev, it's not okay. No, either rabbi, either yeh mechitza, nish mechitza. Decide which one. So l'chayim, the Pnei Yeshua is right, that you have to so to speak, in the side of question, you have to decide that it's l'chumra. Moshul ma davadayma. Moshul ma davadayma. Moshul ma davadayma. Gemara says that I have a hekesh. Hekesh means I have two dinim in the same pasuk. I'm trying to figure out, I'm going to compare the two dinim. Now, I compare the two dirim in one direction, which could, the two dirim have to be similar to one another. The halachas have to be the same, because that's the beat. It's a hekesh. But it's a hekesh means it has to be consistency. You can't split and say one ear of halachas, one set of dirim, another ear, another set of dirim, because we're in the same pasuk. So the Rebbe Shalom put the two dirim in the same pasuk. It's to teach me that I'm supposed to compare the dirim. So I can compare the dirim that will end up that I'll be take all the chumras of one to the other, or I can do the other way around, take all the cools of one to the other. So either everything's going to be mutter or this is going to be asr. Which way do I go? What do I do? So here on the one hand I have a hekesh, and I know I have to have consistency, but I don't know whether the consistency is pointing in the direction of l'chumra l'kula. What do I do? So what is the famous klal? What's the klal? L'chumra l'kula, l'chumra makshin. You always have to go l'chumra. Why is that? Who was with us when we spoke about this last? How many years ago? 5 years ago? 10 years ago? I don't remember. We're going to talk about it last. Next year in Bava Kama Dav Gimel. The Tyson in Bava Kama Dav Gimel. So Rav Yosef Engel has a famous shayla in Sefer Asman Deraisa. What's the nature of this principle, l'chum l'kul l'chum makshinim? Is this because we just don't know what to do? And maybe this is right, maybe all the chum is right, and maybe all the kul is right? And to split between the two is impossible, because that's a hektish teaches it have to be similar. So we throw our hands up and says we don't know what to do, and therefore we have to be mach and be safek, as an extension of which principle in halacha? Safek Deraisa l'chum. So it says that Asrin Deraisa is l'chumra makshinan, just a corollary of Sveika Deraisa l'chumra, and we have to throw on all the chumras b'teras safek, or no, is l'chumra makshinan not b'teras safek, it's b'teras vadai. What does that mean? So they quote the Tosis from Beit Tam and Dav Gimel Manav, Baba Kama says that midahi behekesh, that when the Rebbeinu Shlomo was meishet to Meish Rabbeinu, the klal of how to run a hekesh, so one of the principles of hekesh is hekesh always goes l'chumra. There are klolim, there are shavas, this way, kavachom, this way, there are klolim. Each one of the midas, the rest of them has its own set of rules. And one of the midas of hekesh is it always goes l'chumra. So is that b'teres vader, b'teres safek? A famous vod in the Asman Deraisa. Remember we talked about this years ago? I remember when we talked about years ago. So that's almost like the Peshu is saying here also, that this is not quite a hekesh, but it's the same type of idea, that we have two areas of halacha, and we know they have to be consistent. To drive a wedge between the two and say Shabbos is one way and Sukkot is another way, that's impossible, because Migo doesn't let us do that. So we have to be consistent, but we're not sure which direction to be consistent in, l'chumra l'kula. So the Pnei Yeshua says, Misvar Rishayin, the baseline is, let's go l'chumra. We're dealing with dinim deraisi. We're talking about carrying on Shabbos, building a sukkah, sukkah station with Yom. We're talking about real dinim deraisa. So we should go l'chumra. So what's the Gemara telling us? Oh, you go l'kula. So says the Bnei Yeshua, you see from the whole sugya that the whole thing is not a klal min haTorah. It can't be a klal min haTorah. The Migo, even if you want to tell me that Migo is a principle deraisa, if it would be deraisa, if anything, it would force us, the chumra is not l'kulas. That's the ultimately what's bothering the Bnei Yeshua. So this, the Bnei Yeshua is not the first person to be bothered with this kasha. Who already was bothered with this kasha way before the Bnei Yeshua's days? The Ran asked this kasha. The Ran himself poses the kasha. The Ran says, "The Ran, where is it? Umbakshu hacha on the sixth of Mamakamas. Amayam mina migo kai gabriel kula neima ibchal chumra." Mamash, what the Pnei Yeshua said, the Ran already asked. Name a migad lovi dofen in Shabbos. Lovi dofen in the sukkah. So listen to the Ran's terrors. Alakachani yom ezek the Ran. Shekevan sheatera pirsha mechitzaseh shel sukkah. Ve'iyav shel l'shivis yimei sukkah below Shabbos. Vade lobal hachshira l'shish yom bilvad v'zayin shalot ha'yitzvich ha'hechshir yoyser she'ein bidarka shal teira she'titen hechshir she'einu masik l'chol zman. The Ran addressed the issue of the Pnei Yeshua and clearly did not come to the same conclusion of the Pesach, because the Ran is the biggest believer in this being a deraisa, and the Ran is addressing this issue, trying to explain to you why the Pesach's kasha is not a good kasha. Well, he says the Ran, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai and tells Klai Yisrael, Sukkot is coming in a few days. This is how you build a sukkah. Shtayim Kiyuchas Rishus Afilotef. So everybody goes, they collect their wood, gather the wood, and they start building Shtayim Kiyuchas Rishus Afilotef. First night of Sukkot is Sunday night. Everyone's sitting in the Sukkah. You don't need to invite Moshe Rabbeinu. He's there, mamish. So you still have to invite Avraham Avinu. What did they do with Shpizin in the Midbar? And they only had a shortened version of Shpizin. Moshe and I were there already. David wasn't born yet. So they're sitting. It was a joke, wasn't it? So they're sitting in the Sukkah the first night. Everything's gevaldik. Second night, everything's gevaldik. Third night, everything's gevaldik. Comes Friday afternoon. It's right before Shabbos. And all of a sudden, word comes out. All of a sudden, there's an emergency email sent in Klal Yisrael. You know what it is? Chumrah of the millennium. What's the Chumrah? Everyone has to do what? You better start fixing your sukkahs in over tonight. You won't be able to use your sukkah tonight. You know why? Because now it's going to be Shabbos tonight. And once it's Shabbos, you won't be able to carry. We're in the Midbar, so Rosh Hashanah. You won't be able to carry here because it's only a Shtayim. So since you won't be able to carry here, it's not called the Doifen. It's not called the Doifen. It's not called the Doifen for Sukkah either. And the whole sukkah is possible in the Torah. So everybody, quick Friday afternoon, start finding more wood to fix a third wall. That's the Kol Kari. And it's blessed that it's on Yeshiva World and all the announcements and emergencies. All the Gedolim sign off that you have to put another wall into the Sukkah. But now again, from Sunday night to Friday, everything was fine. Before Shabbos entered onto the scene, there was no problem. Because the Rosh Hashanah told me Shabbos time because the fish will fill Tefach. So says the Ran, if you're going to go down the route of the Pnei Yeshua, of Lechumra Makshinon, so that's going to be the conclusion that you're going to be led to, right? That for 5 days the sukkah is kosher, and now you have to fix it up on the sixth day. You know what the Ran says about that? What was his lashon? He had a very, very strange lashon. What did the Ran say? Ein darka shel Torah shetiten hechsher she'eino masvik l'chol zman. Doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like that's the derech haTorah. The Derech HaTorah wouldn't be such a muddler thing, such a bizarre thing. Derech HaTorah. It wouldn't be, it couldn't be, it can't be that the Rebbeinu Shlomo would say such a silly thing. So Elowat, what, there's only one other logical conclusion you could draw. But Rabbi, it's Shabbos today, and I can't carry here because it's only a Shtayim Kedushin of Zechen. It doesn't meet the criteria of Hilchos Erevin. And Rabbi, can't be that I can't carry here, and it's still a sukkah, because if it's not a mechitza for Shabbos, then it can't be a mechitza for sukkah. So that option of splitting and saying, yeah, it's good for sukkah, no good for Shabbos, that's impossible. Logically impossible. Lo not the Torah lechatzor. Lo hichshir haTorah mechitza lechatzor. The other conclusion of saying, I have to knock down my sukkah, start adding walls, is ein darkah shel Torah to say such a thing. So we're running out of choices. There's only one other third possibility. What is that? That it's good, and you don't have to worry about carrying on Shabbos. And that is the din of Migud HaVidayf and then Sukkah HaVidayf and then Shabbos. Because there are only three logical possibilities, and the first two were knocked out of the box. One possibility is rejected because you can't split between definitions of Mechitzas. That's Lo Nitan Lahei Amayah, says the Ran. And quite frankly, says the Ran, the other side is Lo Nitan Lahei Amayah because Ein Daka Shoteri Kach. And therefore, Leis Breira, it must be Migo, not only must be Migo, must be Migo Lechula. So I stick and run.
Doesn't Migo work both ways? How does Ron say
it could have worked. Migo has to exist because the antithesis of Migo is to say a ridiculous split that is good for one, not good for the other. That can't be. So it's got to be Migo. But Migo would mean either it's both good or both no good. To say that they're both no good would mean you have to fix your sukkah on Friday.
There are
coolers
on Shabbos that
would
apply to Sukkah.
Yeah, we didn't get to that part. We didn't even touch that part of the Sukkah. So we're just starting with the first part of the Sukkah. Migo David Derfel and Sukkah Derfel and Shabbos is based on the principle that there's no other choice.
Why do you use the lesson of
Ein Darkah Shel
Torah, not the general?
Okay, we're getting in a second. So, yeah, this is a rod that you have to let seep in for a little bit. The Ran is talking deraisas here. This is the Ran's solution to the Pnei Yeshua's dilemma. The Pnei Yeshua read this Ran and said, I can't believe it. But the Ran said it. Can somebody explain to me what in the world that means? Ain't darkah shel Torah to say such and such, and therefore the din is such and such? I don't understand. Okay? I live in Bergenfield in the Atofshin Ayin Ches. No normal, sane human being sleeps in the backyard in the middle of October. A nuk tour. You don't have to sleep in the sukkah anymore because ain't daika shatoy to tell you to do silly things. If I would give you a list of the most ridiculous things that we do, I mean, come on, Rabbi Sai, come on. I mean, beinenu. We're getting our hands and knees, climbing under the bed, an Erev Pesach, looking for a speck of chametz. You don't have to do it anymore. You know why? Ain't daka shatar to do your things that are silly. I mean, come on. What do the words mean? Ain't daka shatar. Ashreinu matayim chalkeinu manadir barashim give us mitzvahs. We do all kind of crazy things. What do you mean? Ain't daka shatar. If the barashim would have told us, if the barashim would have said, Vedavashim ashalemar, add a wall to your sukkah on Friday, would we have beaten Malesh? Would anyone have said, that's crazy, I can't do such a thing. That's my breaking point of this religion. I can't put another wall up in the sukkah. Every Rebbe Kivager and every Chumra and every Lovitz and every back and forth and every building sukkahs and looking at an asterisk for 4 hours for a little spot, that I could do. Oh, but to put another piece of wood on Friday afternoon, that I can't mekabel. What do the words mean? In the actual term.
Say earlier in the year that if they
throw
would have said it explicitly.
Ooh, Mamashir, yeah, you got it. Okay. So who remembers back? I guess somebody remembers back. Who remembers back? We had a very, very strange Gemara in the Beis Medalf, the Sechas Sukkah. The Gemara was discussing the Hagdor of Diris Haroi and Diris Keva. And the Gemara said that Rava's reason. Rava said, maybe Rava doesn't appear in the Zion, but he definitely appears in the base. So does Rava for that matter. But Rava appears in the base, and he says, a sukkah l'mal mechaf is possible, because a dearest keva. So Abaye asked Rava, kasha, what was the kasha? What? Mechit shel barzel. So Rava said, no, b'shiyas torachim. That the fact that you personally use building materials that are keva, that's l'mal v'meri. But if you build it more than 20 amis, that's a big problem. Because the din was said on a shear of keva, not on a metzias of keva. So the Rishon were really, really bothered with the kasha. How did Rava know that? How did Chazal know Bruch HaKodesh? What did the Torah say about keva? The Torah says, Basukas teisha shivas yamim. Shivas yamim v'lo yaisa. It was Rashi's diuk. So Zevim Fendo, you see, is a din keva apostles. So how in the world did Chazal figure out this deep dark secret? That's the Shia Keva, not the Metzias of Keva. So who remembers? No, Rashi had a Pshat. A lot of Rishonim are scrambling around for a Pshat. And I remember the Ron's Pshat. Ron said it would have been bizarre for the Torah to give us this kind of a halacha that you have to measure up, you have to shuff up every sukkah, you have to determine. Can this stand? Can this not stand? It would have been very, very hard to do that. It's much easier for the Torah to tell us 20 amos, take a measure, take a ruler, more than 20 amos, possible, to be Meshire each and every sukkah, prat to prat. Is it? It's, you have to bring in an architect, you have to bring in the experts. It can't be too hard. The Mechil is covered the Heilig Aran. Since when does something being too hard, the Poter and Mitzvahs? And it's not hard to keep Shabbos. Not hard to keep kosher. Nothing. Building a mikveh so easy. There are a lot of things that are hard to do. But what did the Ran mean that it's too hard? What does that mean? So the Chayyim of the Ran is telling us a yesod. The Torah never said that you have to build a sukkah with non-permanent materials. If the Torah would have said it to us in Halachi Nekabel, if the Rebbeinu Shem would have said Vedav Hashem Hashalemar, if it would have been in Torah Shemichsav, it would have been a clear cut Halacha Mashtina Kachlem Halacha, that when you build a sukkah, you have to make sure that it's not sturdy enough to last a week. We would have spent millions of dollars every year in sukkahs hiring out the best top quality architects to make that determination. I'm going to hire an architect, build me a sukkah that's going to collapse on Simchas Torah. Shmiras Torah has got to last the extra day. Chutzlar, it's okay. But by simply start by Hakapas, I want that sukkah down. Building is going to self-destruct after 7 days. 7.5 days, it's going to be outbound. If that would have been the Din HaTorah, Zoyishtayim, that would have been the Din HaTorah. It wouldn't have been any crazier than doing B'dikas Chametz, than building mikvahs, than blowing shofar, than supplying lulavim, than Radi Pashas of Tefillin, than learning Torah Yom V'Layla. There are a lot of mitzvahs that are not the easiest mitzvahs in the world, let's be real. But the Torah would have said, Zoyishtayim. But the Torah didn't say that. What did the Torah say? The Torah dropped a hint. What did the Torah say? Pesukas Tev Shivas Yomim, V'lo Ad, V'lo Yoyser. The Torah says that there's a din of keva and aroi. Aroi is good. Keva is not so good. Now, it's almost like a Mesura Kosov HaChacham type of halacha. We have to figure out what is the Kavanas HaTorah. What licked in that Kavanas HaTorah of Shivas Yom V'lo Yoyser? How does that express itself? That esoteric concept that was Nimsed Moshe Rabbeinu licked in those worlds, in those words, Shivas Yom V'lo Yoyser. How does that express itself in Olam Hazeh? So it could express itself in one of two ways. Either it could express itself by being that you have to mamish check with the architects that your sukkah is going to self-destruct after 7.5 days. That would be one way of fulfilling the din of Shivas Yom V'lo Yoyser. Or another way of fulfilling the din of Shivas Yom V'lo Yoyser would be if it's built according to the dimensions that give off the appearance of not being too kavua, that's all kiyum of Shivas Yom V'lo Yoyser. Which way is it? I have no idea because the Rosh Hashanah didn't say. But the Rebbe Shalom, the message is loud and clear, Shivas Yom V'lo Yoyser. I mean, loud and clear, half the term didn't hear it, half the term had a different way of understanding Tejra Kedru, but we're not, within those Helige Tanoim who saw in that Derosha of Shivas Yom V'lo Yoyser, the Rashi says the base of Malchus Sukkah. There's a din that was Nimsar of Shivas Yom V'lo Yoyser, but that, the protum of that din can be fulfilled in one of two ways. Kumta Ranan says, when you have a din that the basic Surah is given, but now how it plays out, Lamaisa, is in a sense of the Sarkos Lacham to be Keveah. One of the Kloli HaTorah is that if you have a choice, so to speak, about how to implement this Klal, it makes sense, like the Gemara says, you know, it makes sense that the Mitzvah HaTorah should make sense. It should make sense. Part of the Kloli HaTorah is that it should be something that's doable. It should be something that fits into normal common sense. Now again, does that mean that every mitzvah is measured against common sense? Chalila v'chalila. Paraduma, the Rebbe Shalom gives a paraduma. Hey Rabbi, that doesn't make sense, you're not going to do it. That's those chukas ha-Torah. The Rebbe Shalom said it. But the Rebbe Shalom says something, pemoli, we march to orders. But when the Rebbe Shalom gives us a din, and now we have to be keveya, how to apply that din properly, how to implement, what is the Kavanas HaTorah? So then, the Seichel HaYosher is part of the Kviyas of the Halacha. And that's what the Ran said at the base. That since the Torah didn't say beferish what Keva, what Haroi means, we have a right to say, Apidin, on a level of their eyes, we have a right to say, Lo Mistabesh Enosta HaTorah, that we should build a Sukkah that falls apart after 7 days. It's too hard to do that. It makes much more sense that the correct, proper implementation of that din is the Yeshir of 20 Amos. Which is exactly what the Ran is saying here also. We know for a fact that the standards of walls for Sukkah and for Shabbos are different. The Rebbe Shalom came down from our city with two different rule books. Shtayim Kichazon Shishtafil Tefach. Three walls are necessary for Rishis HaYochid. The rules are not the same. And we also know that every once in a while, precisely once a one day out of seven, Shabbos and Sukkot are going to coincide. There's nowhere, as the Ran say, it's EF, so you can have a week of Sukkot without a Shabbos. So when the Rebbe Shalom came, told Moshe Rabbeinu, Pesukas Tev Shivas Yomim, licked in that statement was, the Rebbe Shalom said to Moshe, I know there's going to be a Shabbos there, and I know that you're going to have a conflict between standards of the Chitzis, and one thing is not acceptable to split between the two, because that contradicts a cloud goddle of Migo. Migo is a common sense saying that it can't be the two standards of Mechitzah on the same day. You want to tell me on Tuesday and Shabbos a different standard, you can talk. The same day, you ask the rabbi, is it a Mechitzah or not? And he says, for some areas, yes, for some areas, that's inconceivable logically. So now we know we have all eyes pointed in the direction we have to issue a Psak. The Torah insists that we issue a Psak. Either the Mechitzahs are both good or the Mechitzahs are no good. Which way do we go? Either one would be okay, in theory. Either one would make sense logically. So the Pnei Yeshua says, well, if either one is an option, they're both equally valid options, so which option must you take, says the Pnei Yeshua? You have two equally valid options how to interpret a Din HaTorah. What do you have to do? Says the Bnei Yeshua. Which way do you have to go? You have to go to Chumra. And what does the Ran say? The Ran says, you're right. If there were two equally valid options, we'd have to go to Chumra. But what? They're not what? They're not equally valid options. You know why? Because one of the options has a big problem. There's a big deficiency. What's the big deficiency? Ain't what? Ain't Darka Shul Torah. Doesn't make any sense. If the Roshon would have said it, we've been a cop. The Roshon didn't say it. The Roshon would have said that you have to start adding walk to your sukkah. Your wife is screaming at you on Friday. The Roshon didn't say it. The Roshon said, this is a sukkah, this is a Shabbos. The two are going to coincide together. Figure out what to do. Come up with a conclusion. One of them's got to differ. Either Shabbos gives to sukkah, sukkah's got to give to Shabbos. One's got to give into the other. So logic dictated, based on Sveika Deraisa L'chum, the Pnei Yeshua said, logic dictated that Shabbos wins, and you have to be machmir, and comes around and says, no, that there's another logic in there. And the other logic is even more compelling than your logic. And that logic is, Ein Darka Shul Torah L'Hatzich Tavar Kazeh, I ain't what I said in the base, because when the Torah doesn't say clear what to do, and we have to figure out what the Kavanah of the Torah is, then part of the klal is, it has to make sense. It has to be Darko Shul Torah. It has to fit into the pattern of Dinim that otherwise the Torah gives us. Lefiyanis Daiti, that's what you meant when you said, right? The two rounds of Mamash L'Shitosim. That's Lefiyanis Daiti. These two rounds have to be understood in light of one another.
Many years ago,
yeah. In Yevamos, right. Right. The Gemara has that's right. We had it in Yevamos, and the Gemara has it in Sukkah also. But the Gemara is trying to figure out what is the Min Hadas. So the Gemara says, it's either this or it's that. It can't be that because there's thorns in it. And let's say if the Torah would have said, if you lose something with thorns, would you use something with thorns? So the answer the Torah didn't say. He's just trying to figure out what would be the right application. So Jached Achanam plays, right. In Yevamos also we had it. You have certain dinner, we're not sure. Remember, is the baby machil, is the baby not machil, is the baby count, not count, Jached Achanam is Heveya in figuring out ambiguous areas of halacha. We use that principle of Jached Achanam. Yeah, the Ram doesn't use those exact terms, but it's a very, very similar type of an idea. Right.
Same point. Even if you didn't say that it has to be the same thing, Machitza, Shabbos, and Sukkah, you would say it could be different. Because Migo can still apply. Why does it have to be only if you say they're exactly the same? Even if you say they're not the same, this argument is so compelling that...
No, because if they don't have to be the same, then I would have said, okay, that in Sukkah, I would say the Sukkah is kosher, just make sure not to carry. No, so that would have been a pain in the neck, but it would have been feasible. It means what Ron is saying is that since it's so compelling that they have to be the same, we have to tell you the sukkah's puzzle. The guy will say, listen, I'm not going to carry anyway. He'll tell his wife, you carry. I'm not going to carry. The sukkah's still kosher. But I don't mean that in a real way. But the underlying problem is that they have to be the same. So everybody says, so we solved the problem, either the Ron's approach, the Peshu's approach, to at least one direction of the Migo. We haven't even touched the other direction yet. Hopefully that's from tomorrow. We'll try to go to Sugi from the other angle again. Okay, good. Stop here. Oh, no, could you patch around my...